is Sam from the GO team, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Anastasia by George Eliot Clarke from Illuminated Verses. Tears splotch often in my coffee now, 'cause I'm always mad in the middle of crooked love that can't run straight, bottomless lust that lasts one night. Harlot him half my hard to get heart. What's more valuable than my heart? But he ravishes my invaluable heart. He plungers my treasure chest heart. I can't change that, no eye, I can't lie. So I just lie awake under the moon, my bare naked eye stroked by light. History ain't nothing but trouble.
Refugee camp, conspiracy theory, why? Yeah, why? You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived. And I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. Caught in the way that I stand. There's nothing else to compare. The sight of you leaves me weak. There are no words left to speak. But if you feel like I feel, please let me know that it's real. You're just too good to be true.
Good evening. You're listening to Audio Text right here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name is JC Peters, and I'm back for another episode of Audio Text, your Canadian writing show. So it's Black History Month, which is exciting, always. And I get to play some poetry often by Black Canadian poets, which is really awesome. And I'm not going to do that today because I don't have any yet. Well, I mean, I have some older ones, but there's going to be the Pan-African Slam and some other stuff going on this month, so I'll bring back some of the recordings that I collect during Black History Month. But I thought that I would start the show today with George Eliot Clarke, who is one of my favorite poets, period. And he's also a Black Haligonian, and he writes beautiful poetry. So I was reading from his book, Illuminated Verses, Celebrating the Black Female Form, which I'll get back to in a little bit later on the show. And I also thought I would play a little bit of Lauryn Hill, who is a really awesome Black, not Canadian, but a female singer. And I've been listening to her quite a bit lately, so I thought I'd share a little of that with you, even if it was just a minute. So what we're going to do in terms of poetry today is play some really white poetry, really. And I'm going to be sharing with you some excerpts from the Nerd Slam, which happened a couple of weeks ago, including Robbie Q. Telfer, who is the feature, and he's amazing. So I'm going to be playing a little bit of that today. Again, I will return to that thought in a moment. First, listings, things that are going on in the city where you can go and see these amazing poets live and support your local artists. So today, today is February 3rd, Wednesday. There's a Slam UBC tonight featuring Scruffmouth at Mass Buchanan D at 7:30. If you haven't been to check that out yet, especially if you're a part of UBC, you should really go and check it out. Thursday, February 4th, is the Davy Village Poetry Slam happening at J Lounge at 1216 Butte Street and starting at 8 p.m. So I don't think that's exclusive to people who consider themselves other than heterosexual, but generally it's a non-heterosexual kind of night, I suppose. Also, Thursday, February 4th, there's going to be a Crossroads Slam at the W2 Perel Gallery, which is a really cool space. They're holding a lot of interesting events there right now. It's going to be featuring the host Omari Newton of Urban Inc., which is the organization that's planning this. It's going to be an open mic, a little short film festival, and some other stuff. So that should be pretty sweet. It's 112 West Hastings Street. That's Thursday, $5 to $10 entrance. Yeah, so more options for Thursday. Friday, February 5th, celebrate the Black heritage on Salt Spring with Evelyn C. White, who is, in honor of Black History Month, launching her new book, Ever Goodbye Ain't Gone, a photo narrative of Black heritage on Salt Spring Island. So that sounds pretty good as well. You can get some more information about that at www.dancingcrowpress.com. And that's going to be at the Rhizome Cafe at Main and Kingsway on Friday, I think around 7 o'clock. And finally, on Monday, the Vancouver Poetry Slam again is having the Pan-African Slam. So that's this Monday, February 8th, coming up. So it's going to be featuring Adeline DeSole, poet, and Ottawa's John Acapata. And the open mic is sort of extended, especially to Black Canadian, or, well, Blacks who are around. So that should be a pretty cool event as well. It only happens once a year. And similar to the Women's Slam, you kind of notice that the Vancouver Poetry Slam is pretty much dominated by white men, really. So it's important to have these alternative slams and get other voices heard, because for whatever reason, if they're not being represented, we need to make sure that we hear those voices. So the energy should be a little bit different, and it'll probably be a pretty sweet night, and hopefully I'll be there able to record it and bring back to you what I heard. So with all that, let's get back to our white poetry from the Nerd Slam. I'm going to start right away with, and actually this particular poet is not white. I wonder how awkward of a show this is going to be. This is the sort of thing where you like start talking about color, and when you're Canadian, you feel really weird about that, because you're like never supposed to mention that anyone has any color at all. Like, we're supposed to pretend that we don't have any culture. It's one of the weird neurotic things about Canadian culture that I find so interesting, and it does come up in a lot of literature, especially when it's immigrant literature and stuff like that. And there's just so many different ways to kind of explain what you're talking about, and so many different ways that it can be interpreted as non-politically correct, which is a very Canadian thing to worry about. So let's try and not worry about that so much today. The poet, I just know his name, which is Ahmed. He is neither black nor white, but he had a pretty sweet poem about Max and PC, so that's what I'm going to play for you right away from Ahmed.
So once upon a time, a Mac fell in love with a PC. But that's what attracted them. He was rugged and unpredictable. She was pretty, bright, and thin. As different as they were, they both knew that deep down they had something in common. The Intel processor. But it wasn't easy, especially when they wanted to get close and intimate. The PC, well, he had a good hard drive, but he had a lot of STDs. The Mac, she was clean. She had no viruses. So at the end of the day, they both realized that the PC had no option, and that the Mac had no control. They gradually grew apart, though. This was tough. She tried to find a window into his soul, but she had memorized all his windows. The PC's friends, PC friends, would say to him, "Come crash with us." And he would.
Hater!
They all knew what it was like to be a PC. They crashed a lot. One day, all this became too much. Mac really started feeling that deep passion for PC again. She felt like she missed him. No, she missed him. And turning to him. She thought to herself, "I love him so much, and I'm not going to lose him like this." So she decided to become more like him. She felt like, she realized that by becoming more like the PC, their problems might fade away. There won't be as much friction. So she installed an emulator and became a PC. After booting up, she ran to PC and shouted, "Honey, look, I'm like you. We can both be PCs." all our problems are solved. But as PC turned towards Mac, Mac realized that he too had run an emulator. So they were both running emulators. The PC was a Mac now. The Mac was a PC. They looked at each other. Silence filled their sound cards. But gradually something strange happened. As the PC started looking at this other PC, he saw reflections of himself in her. She started falling in love with his, he started falling in love with his image. Same happened to the Mac. The Mac felt, you know what? If he cared about me that much to become a Mac, and if that's the image he has of me, this is a beautiful thing. She fell in love with his image. They looked at each other, they reached for each other, and they pressed restart. People rarely love another, only who they are in front of the other.
Blame from the Accused, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Do you like phone sex? Well, lucky you. Wednesday, February 3rd at the Astoria, Discorder Magazine presents Sex Negatives, Phone Calls, and a special DJ set by MT40. Doors open at 9 p.m., so get your ass down to the Astoria at 769 East Hastings on February 3rd and support music, sex, and phone calls.
Next up, a piece from Steve Locke.
It's Saturday morning and all the kids are full of sugar. The sing-along music rolls and all the little rascals cheer. When Screamo the Clown appears in skull makeup, rainbow wig, and oversized chucks. This week's lesson, children, how to survive a zombie attack. Trust all Screamo, this'll come in handy. Ditch your parents, you know they're just going to rot. Wandering the streets, back and forth between home and work, looking for fresh meat. And what's that covering your bones? Go hide at the mall and eat anything you want from the empty food court. All the deep fryers and coolers work, you just have to turn them on. In a couple of years, you'd be getting minimum wage there anyways. Might as well serve yourself for free. You could move into Sears and play Xbox from your race car bed. Test ride a skateboard and do a drive-by paintball assault of women's fashions. If you get lonely, talk to a mannequin. To protect yourself in your wonderland, take self-taught classes in wielding axes and how to shoot a steady bolt. You can practice on moving targets, but remember to aim for the head. Leave none of the Walking Dead behind. Let a couple of years pass, so by the time you see the light of day again, you would have grown into a warrior. Now take what you've learned and travel far. Pick from any of the cars lining the highway. And someday, you might meet survivors. Show them your strength and share what you have, then make them work to pay you back. Govern them with a swift and righteous hand by way of your own made-up law. The world is your damn decayed oyster, and you are its god. Then the commercials roll for lunchtime snacks and pissing dolls, things less useful in the time to come. Then the kids nod and applaud, and Screamo the Clown goes into a song. Grow up strong, leave hope for dreams, and learn to shut out the dreadful screams. But when the nightmare comes, you'll be all alone, And with all the dead behind you, you can never go home. Sleep tight, stay safe and sound. Soon the lights will all turn down. And say goodbye to Dad and Mom. Because next week, we're gonna have some fun. Oh, Screamo is gonna show ya how to shoot a gun.
And next, from the winner of the evening, Duncan Shields.
Ooh, I got my first real laptop. Awesome cyborg giant. Well, no one said Starfleet was gonna be this way. We just beamed down to the shore of this uncharted classic world with number one, the captain two, the engineer, and some guy. Well, I'm not a furry. I've been to Comic Con. Climb into my TARDIS and let me turn it on. Let me take you all the way to 1982, back into the supernova in the month of June. Better than that hero show, more than District 9. Better than the internet, my PS3, and Firefly. Better than a bright blue nymphomaniac and Dorian. It made me put an overthruster into my DeLorean. And go to hyperspace until I finally hit Warp 10. That month gave birth to every nerdy breath I draw, my friend. For those of you born later, listen to my words. History was made in 7 weeks for all the nerds. Let me make it clear and say again, just 7 weeks. From early June to mid-July, the world got its geeks. Poltergeist, and then E.T., and then The Thing, and Tron. And then they brought out Blade Runner, and then The Wrath of Khan. Once I started weeping during 1STNG, because I knew a Starship future would not include me. I'd be dead before a ship could whisk me to the stars. I'd never drink with Romulans, sipping ale in bars. But that's okay, I like it here. And this is where I'll stay. And each and every one of you is a geek in some small way. To geek or not to geek? That is the question. Whether 'tis wiser in this life to purchase the toys of comics and models and robots, and to program a mound of video games and by creating play them, to escape this life, and by to geek to say we dodge the small talk and the thousand boring days that normals air to. 'Tis a consummation devoutly to be wished. To geek, to nerd, perchance to love, aye. There no love. For in that nerdy state, ye lovers come. But we had shuffled off this normal coil. Whatever. First you pop it, and then you lock it, and then I guess you'll have to Captain Kirk or Mr. Spock it. Now I could be a hull-addicted, Barclay-loving wormhole, but you're an ugly bag of mostly water who can't make it go. And furthermore, Cardassian, I hate to burst your port in a cell, but you're in a triple trouble, undiscovered country hell. Passionate, pedantic, and a comic book collector too, I think that I might kick your ass in Star Trek Trivial Pursuit. A published science fiction author, animator too, when Gary Gygax died, I took a day to mourn, did you?
Yeah!
I dabbled now and then in D&D, but I did plenty. Couples that I know now met while rolling 2d20. Couples that have kids that wouldn't be without that game. Gary Gygax D&D, hallowed be thy name. Yeah! But I digress, you have to let the geek inside you win. Get obsessive, detail-driven, seek your nerdy kin. Comics rock the box office, gamers rule the world. Everywhere we see our nerdy flags proudly unfurled. Sisters, brothers, halflings, Borg, tall green lanterns too. Vulcans, rebels, and some droids, plot a course, Sulu. The future's now and we are here. The fire's high, let's fan it. Let's make of this a geeky world, a nerdy, nerdy planet.
Yeah!
Indeed, the nerd of the night, Duncan Shields, the winner of the annual Nerd Slam at Café du Soleil right here in Vancouver. So next up, I'm going to play a piece from the feature of the night, Robbie Q. Telfer, who came to visit and did his thing and blew everybody away. He was absolutely amazing. And I got a few of his recordings, so I'm just going to play one today. But I promise you that I'll bring back some more, especially if you like it. So I'm going to play a piece next from him.
I know. This poem, a lot of people in spoken word write poems to their heroes. A lot of spoken word poetry heroes are poets or hip-hop artists. I kind of like Holland Oates, so it's kind of getting that. But my heroes growing up were stand-up comedians. And in fact, one of the albums that I wore to dust was Bob and Doug McKenzie. So I know what a toque is, and I know what a twofer is, and I know what back bacon is, so look out. My dad told me. Nerd indeed. So this is dedicated to all my heroes. This is called Clowns. There's a dark club, full of hyenas, barking at an empty stage. John Lovitz replaced Phil Hartman on news radio after one night when Andy Dick fed cocaine to Phil Hartman's recently clean wife, Bryn Hartman. Phil Hartman had told Bryn Hartman that if she started using again, he would leave her. So Bryn Hartman shot Phil Hartman and herself in the head. Years later, Andy Dick taunted John Lovitz about how Andy Dick caused the untimely death of Phil Hartman. So John Lovitz grabbed Andy Dick by the head and bounced his face off a comedy club bar. David Foster Wallace wrote a very simple and easy to understand book called Finite Jest. Richard Pryor burns. Gilda Radner smolders. Andy Kaufman writhes on the ground with women. Bill Hicks never gained mainstream popularity because he couldn't tell more dick jokes than jokes about the first Iraq War. Perpetually censored, he was diagnosed with cancer, taped a set on David Letterman, and told more jokes about abortion than the Battle of the Sexes. David Letterman pulled the segment from the show, and his friend, Bill Hicks, died a few months later. Bill Cosby shoots his shotgun mouth with a sleepy rage. Michael Richards did the same, but his pellets are flaccid. Dave Chappelle walked away from millions of dollars because he couldn't control why the hyenas were barking in February 2009. David Letterman aired the censored Bill Hicks segment and publicly apologized to Bill Hicks' mother, Mary Hicks. She only half accepted the apology. At Kermit the Frog's memorial service, Miss Piggy had to run away from the podium at the end of his eulogy. Scooter reminded the congregation how we should all live in the moment, like Kermit did, and then Scooter died of AIDS just 2 years later. Big Bird came out to sing It's Not Easy Being Green, and for a moment, it sounded like there was a real human being inside of this giant yellow body. For a moment, it sounded like this impossible real person was beginning to crack and cry inside of this now trembling feathered body, all because a frog didn't want to bother people by going to the hospital in time. Later, the ashes of someone named Jim Henson were scattered on a ranch in Santa Fe. From the stage, you can't see the hyenas, but you can hear them barking. Your job is to be meat dangling to tease out the barking. Your job, clown, is to be meat dangling. Dance for the canine scream. That means that you're winning. You're a failure if they think they can hear a real human being shivering and crying inside a giant clown body. There's a 2-drink minimum. Tip your waitress. You'll be here all night, you say. You'll be here all night, sucking out the cackles, daring death to just try and take you. And that's the joke, you know. Life is a wonderful joke. When Tina Fey was 5 years old, she was playing in her front lawn, and a man walked up to her and just slashed her across the face. And Stephen Colbert was 10. His father and two oldest brothers died in a plane crash on September 11, 1974. Mark Twain tried to swallow an entire planet's imperialistic, selfish greed and stuff it inside a funny white suit. Then the daughter of Samuel Clemens died. Mark Twain kept working. Samuel Clemens stopped working. We go on. Despite this, we go on. It really is a wonderful joke. It's really quite hilarious.
Brittany. Hit me, baby, one more time. Xtina. What a girl wants, what a girl needs, whatever makes me happy sets you free. Mariah. CITR, where you'll hear none of those divas. CITR 101.9 FM, where the only divas you're likely to hear are Kathleen.
Suck my left one!
D'Amanda. Lydia.
Would somebody please inform the U.S. government that my uterus is not open to public debate.
CITR 101.9 FM, your true diva station.
Are you clueless to what happens around campus? Do you hate the fact that most Canadian news outlets are owned by one company? Do conventional news leave you with a bad taste in your mouth? Well, don't be a hater. Be a joiner. News 101 is your source for alternative news from around UBC and the world. We're always looking for more newsies, so get in touch with us. Email us at news@citr.ca to learn about the opportunities that we have for you. You can also listen to News 101 at 5 p.m. on Mondays and Fridays here on CITR.
So, those... Okay, that right there is a cover of Screaming Fist from Bum. Bum hails from Victoria on the island. Bum were a band who were big back in the sort of early-ish 90s. And anyways, they covered that Vile Tones song. Now, the Vile Tones are a band who were out of Toronto, and their heyday was in the late 70s. There you go. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and I am your host, Anita B. This show here is called Sam Squanch's Hideaway, and for the next hour and a half, we will be listening to Canadian music. There you go. So, Canadian music is the name of the game, and the next thing we're going to be listening to is something from the Evaporators, and they have a newish
double EP out. It's called A Wild Pair, and it's split with Andrew WK. Andrew WK is a total rock partier dude out of Detroit who is, I don't know. How do I put him? He's not good looking, but sexy. That's my own interpretation of Andrew W.